Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Welcome, everybody, to another week of another Money Show with your host, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford. So if you tuned in last week, you probably noticed that it was not us. So we joked, I think, in the week prior, right, that we were going to get fired from our own station and our own show. And apparently that happened. Good work, JR.
Well, and actually, what's so funny, you were out of town for the last taping. So I said that since you're not there and I don't have adult supervision, this will probably be the last show. And then I tune in on Saturday and we're not there. And I was like, oh, well.
Yeah, it turns out that was true. Good. I think it was just because they hated your show on your own so much that they're like, we don't need to air this.
It was pretty bad. And I thought that it was going to be tougher without you. So I thought I'm going to need a lot more interaction with Sam. And I barely let Sam get a word in.
You didn't let Sam talk at all. I think you even prefaced the start of the show. Oh, so the show is available on, you know, wherever you stream your podcasts, if you're following our show. It's also on our website, rochfordfinancial.com. So it's not, lost in the universe. It's out there. Oh, well, Sam's telling us to subscribe. Are we subscribing? Sam, you do a better pitch of that. You sell us.
Sam, tell me what that means. I'm an old guy. What does subscribe mean? Subscribe to what?
Well, if you want to listen to another Money Show, you know that you can listen at 4 o'clock here on 960 The Patriot on Saturdays. It is Saturday, right? Correct. Saturday, everybody. Yeah, right. But you can also listen.
If this show gets aired on Saturday, then yes, it is on Saturday.
Good point. We're supposed to be on Saturday. So, you know. Expect us to come on Saturday. But if you can't listen at that time, you can listen to another Money Show wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can keep listening right here and you'll find us there. So if you hit subscribe, you'll be notified whenever the guys post a new episode. And if you could leave us a rating, give us a determination based on stars or points or whatever system they're using, and let us know what you like and what you don't like. And then we'll keep doing it for you.
But only good ratings, because we're very sensitive.
What's the old thing? If you like what you hear, tell everybody. If you don't like what you hear, just tell us. We're really sensitive, so I would say just don't tell us.
Yeah, I'm an ugly crier too, and I'll have to redo my makeup.
You're not good. It's not good. So, and Anthony, you introduced me and you introduced you, but you didn't introduce the one and only Sam Davis. So don't forget. Oh. We always have adult supervision as long as we have our Sam Davis here. So, and that lost episode that neglected to air last Saturday, you do want to find that, because Anthony was out of town. So it was the best show by far. It's the best show ever.
Not according to the station. They didn't even air it. You were not good enough to be aired, JR. It should just be the Anthony show. You go on vacation next. We'll just kick you off.
Did everybody hear that, right? It is my turn to go on vacation. So let's get into it. Enough of this. Let's get into it. What are we going to talk about today? Are we going to, you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about the 10 pillars. That's all I want the show to be, is the 10 pillars. Sooner or later, people are going to go, oh, you missed one. You missed number three. So, you know what? One thing that I do like that we kind of start the show with each week, current events. I mean, there's so much going on. Our news cycle is so fast and furious. You know, this past week, I mean, what's the conversation? It's almost like we moved on a little bit from the leaked document with the Supreme Court and the Roe versus Wade. We moved on a little bit, and now it's about baby formula. You know, I mean, and speaking of baby formula, a couple things. One, you know, I don't know if that's an item that you can stock up. I don't know. I mean, is the baby formula, is it liquid? Is it powder? I guess it could be either. So the people that had some stocked up are probably feeling pretty smart right now. So, and where I tie that in, you know, one of my pillars is, you know, when you talk about inflation, my fear with inflation isn't that things are going to cost four times as much as they do now in a month. It's that there'll be a run on things and you won't be able to get them. So this baby formula, I don't know if it's foreshadowing and you need to be worried about, you know, rice and beans and number 10 cans, but I would certainly say without mortgaging your house.
You're not sure about that? I'm positive.
I'm positive. I think this fall we're going to have some food shortages. You had the government came out, said the word famine, said it's going to be real. I mean, they already told you what's coming. You know, we've had fires and planes hitting food processing plants. So, you know, this thing, if we get baby formula back, I mean, my understanding is that some of it has like an up to 18 month shelf life. So get yourself 18 months as soon as you see it and put that away. And then the rest of you that don't have babies or young kids and infants at home, I would probably do that with spinach and corn and rice and sugar and flour and salt and everything else. I mean, we're in the most uncharted territory we've ever seen in this country. You know, a lot of the world has seen some of this stuff. So look around. I'm not saying we're going to be Venezuela, but I'm also not saying we're not. I mean, this is insane. You know, I mean, we're recording this
right before we started air, and you literally just said, I think we're going to be like Venezuela. Or no,
yeah, but I can't say that on the air.
Probably like Venezuela.
But I can't say that on the air. What is our motto is, you know, we want you prepared, not scared. If I say we're going to be like Venezuela, that's more taking you towards the scared. I mean, I only think we're going to be like Argentina. I don't think we're going to be like Venezuela. So, and you know, we record this on a Tuesday, it airs on a Saturday. So you're hearing us on a Saturday. Thank you so much, by the way, for joining us on your weekend. Hopefully you'll hear this one. Okay. That's the last dig against, you know, things happen. Computers do strange things,
but you can always hear it on Rochford Financial. And the link is also at anothermoneyshow.com.
Man, I opened the window and what a nice plug. Yeah. Come see us, ask us questions. I love to hear myself talk. I want to hear what you want to hear though. So, and by the way, Sam, yes, to answer your question, once we turn into Argentina, Brazil, Venezuela, yes, our soccer team should presumably get better. So if you're a soccer fan, you've got good things coming. I would say as soon as this fall. So on a Tuesday, I mean, I look at yesterday, what I was hearing yesterday, there were power outages in Texas. Did Texas secede from the union yet, or are they still a state in the, anyway, so Texas,
they're working on it.
They had, I believe it was 7 power outages yesterday. And I think about that. This is early in the summer. I mean, this is not August, September. You know, we're in Arizona. We've dealt with some of that. We're not California. I mean, rolling blackouts and, you know, turn your power off during the day. And oh my gosh. I mean, when you look at all these different things going on, I'm sorry, but you have to be saying there's too many things about these. There's too many things that don't make sense. You know, when you have to worry about 10 things, you're eventually going to give up and just turn the TV back on. Do you see that, Anthony? Or do you think I'm always a little bit overly nervous?
I mean, I think you're asking two totally different things. Are you overly nervous? Yeah, all the time. But that doesn't mean you're wrong.
I appreciate you saying it doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong. That's really,
you know how much that hurts to say too. I hate giving you credit for that.
I get it. And you know, for an hour each week, how I look at this show, this is a macro view. We're talking about big picture stuff. You know, we don't know all of the throngs of people that are listening. We don't know their different situation. So this is a big picture view. If you want a micro view, set an appointment with us, email a question to us. I mean, let's figure out what's on your mind. You know, when I talk about the formula panic, oh, and by the way, I did hear from 2 different sources, whether they're true or not, I'm not sure. I don't have time in my life right now to vet and verify as fast as things are coming at me. So, but I heard that there are pallets and pallets of baby formula at the border for people that have come into the country. And again, I have to be very careful so this doesn't become a political hot button, a racial hot button. But I can tell you if it's true that there's a whole ton of baby formula at the border, but not in my local grocery store, I do have heartburn with that. That's another problem that has to be addressed if you ask me. So one more thing that's really sitting with me from yesterday, I'm reading about power outages in Texas and baby formula shortages. And you know what the big thing the government's working on right now? UFO hearings. Has Sam, Anthony, have you heard about this?
I have not.
Oh,
tell me more.
When gas prices are hitting all-time high after all-time high, diesel is up over, what is it, $5.50 average now. And now is the time we're going to be hunkering down looking for extraterrestrial life. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, and if you're not reading this stuff, if you're not hearing this stuff, read more, hear more.
Yeah. Go Tesla, ahead. Elon Musk, he gave up on Earth. They already know it's ending. They're going to space. They're going to the moon. Do you want to talk about Twitter stock right now? Because I think that's hilarious. We got hit up so much from people after Elon Musk announced that he was going to buy it. And everybody thought there's a billionaire genius buying a stock makes a company better. Well, what is it? It's dropped, 15-20% since then? So,
well,
just insane.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. You know, I mean, yeah, and look at Tesla stock. Isn't it down about 25% year to date?
That's like
Elon's going to be okay. I know Elon, he called me and asked for a short-term bridge loan, but I think he's going to be okay. He's going to make it through this.
You know, help him out. Yeah. So year to date, it looks like it's down almost 37%. Here's the thing, though, is in, what was it, 2020, when all this started, it was like $60 a share, $80 a share. It was under 100 for sure. Then it went to almost 1,000, over 1,000, like 1,100. Why?
I can tell you why.
Poor K, JR.
It's the opposite of the old Warren Buffett thing. I mean, Warren Buffett, you know, when people are running out, I'm running in. When people are running in, I'm running out. That's not what people do. We tend to buy low, sell high repeatedly. That's why we'll always have a job. You know, people, they don't just need information, they need advice. And that's what's sorely missing when you look at a lot of financial feeds. People need advice. They need a little bit of stomach and discipline that they don't
what
have.
Are you talking about? They get plenty of advice from TikTok and Twitter and yeah.
Dave Ramsey.
That's why everybody knows that it was such a good idea to get into Twitter.
GameStop, AMC.
Really? I mean, JR brings that up as a pillar all the time, and we're going to have to set up a show just dedicated to that one because, you know, we talk about things that we're watching that will affect your 401k, IRA, all your money. But it's like social media is a pillar. I was like, well, how does social media affect my 401k? Why should I be paying it? Like we just said, Elon Musk says that he's going to buy Twitter, puts it on Twitter, and now it's down 20% when people are jumping in and hitting us up saying, oh, Elon Musk is going to buy Twitter. We should get in now because now I'm a genius investor.
Well, let's do this. We've got to take a break. So in the next segment, we're going to get back to a little Elon Musk. We're going to go to a little bit on Dogecoin and cryptos, and let's switch gears and talk about something that's in the news a lot. So we'll see you in just a minute. Please make sure you check us out at anothermoneyshow.com. Feel free to email any questions you have to team@anothermoneyshow.com, and we'll be right back.
I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. If amusement parks are your kind of thing, roller coasters can be fun. But when it comes to investing for retirement, not so much. One of the most volatile investments around is cryptocurrency. That means, sure, there's some potential upside, but is it worth taking a ride on the crypto coaster? First, what is crypto anyway? The website Investopedia defines it this way. A cryptocurrency is a form of digital asset based on a network that is distributed across a large number of computers. This decentralized structure allows them to exist outside the control of governments and central authorities. Bitcoin was the first such currency out there, so it's been the most talked about and faced the most scrutiny. Like anything in life, crypto has its advantages and disadvantages. While it offers a faster and cheaper way to transfer money, its value is highly volatile. The technology has gotten some blowback from both sides of the political aisle. One of the most vocal critics has been Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts.
Unlike, say, the stock market, the crypto world currently has no consumer protection. None.
Republican Senator Pat Toomey, ranking member of the Banking Committee, who generally supports the industry, also acknowledges there are issues with crypto.
Now, it's important to note that many people have raised legitimate issues about cryptocurrencies. These include their use in illicit activity and the possible effects on monetary policy and our existing financial infrastructure.
But what do big-time investors have to say about cryptocurrency? Here's Warren Buffett speaking at a recent Berkshire Hathaway shareholder meeting.
Now, if you told me you owned all of the Bitcoin in the world and you offered it to me for $25, I wouldn't take it because what would I do with it?
Still, cryptocurrency has legions of fans who swear by it and enjoy riding the daily roller coaster. So, are you willing to risk your hard-earned and hard-saved money in a volatile cryptocurrency market? That's a key question to consider as you invest in your future. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure.
You're listening to Another Money Show.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. So, that was an interesting little sound clip. Thank you so much, Matt. You know, that's a huge part of our world right now. People are asking about things. You know, when I look at my grandfather, when I look at his day and age, when I look at my father, when I see how things have changed, you know, they never had to deal with high frequency trading computers. You know, they didn't have people in Sun City having a daughter's neighbors, friends, cousins suggest them buying marijuana stocks. I mean, it's a different day and age. So, but this stuff with cryptos, it's definitely grown legs. I mean, it's not going anywhere. Is it good or bad? I mean, you know, in that clip, when they talk about a digital, you know, it's called a currency, cryptocurrency, but they said asset. And when you think about it, I mean, it's not, you can't say it's a currency. You know, funny story, Anthony, when you and I, we went to a restaurant here locally, I'm looking for sponsors all the time, hint, hint, called Firebirds. So we're talking to the server, great guy, real young. And he, somehow it gets brought up that he owns about $9,000 worth of Bitcoin. And we're like congratulating him, like, you know, hopefully you're diversified and you have other monies. And then Anthony, if you remember correctly, you said, I'm glad you understand it because I'd like to pay for the meal in Bitcoin. And the guy looked at you like a deer in the headlights. And he's like, well, we don't take that. It's like, I mean, it was.
Well, he was just talking about how a great investment it was and how he made all this money. And, you know, for anybody in crypto that's made money, good for you. I still can't justify it. You know, the example I use is Beanie Babies all the time. Like, yeah, people made money off of Beanie Babies, but at least that was a thing. It was something tangible.
Well, so, it was really dumb. But
he was talking about how smart he is as an investor and made all this money. And we kept using the word currency. Currency, currency. I was like, I think that's my biggest issue with cryptocurrencies is one, it's not a currency. So that was my question. I was like, all right, can I pay my bill? And he's like, no. I was like, well, guess it's not a currency then, is it? All these people that have made millions of dollars in Bitcoin, well, do they have millions of dollars in Bitcoin? Or did they sell that Bitcoin and turn it into US dollars?
So hopefully put some money aside for taxes because that's still the great unknown on some of this profit.
I mean, that's how Ponzi schemes work. If everybody just puts money into it, then it works.
Why do you have to bring up Social Security system when we're talking about cryptocurrencies? I guess I'm lost. And you know, we've got a friend who made a good chunk of change in Bitcoin, pulled out $60,000, turned it into cash, pulled out extra money to settle the taxes, you know, and this man's a retired CPA. He's a brilliant man. And he bought his spouse a Lexus. So he handled the cryptocurrency market completely perfectly. He put way extra money in case there's a big tax bill. He made a bunch of money. He got in, he got out. But the key to his success, he's diversified. He's got his IRA, his 401k, his emergency fund, his hard assets. I mean, he did it right. You know, there's everybody's trying to beat systems. You know, if you're into cryptocurrencies as a portion of your net worth, okay. I mean, you know, Anthony, you and I haven't really adapted to it. You know, I personally own a little bit of GBTC and I've gotten enough exposure to cryptocurrencies so I can track it mainly. And I look at the volatility. I mean, don't forget years ago, you know, Bitcoin ran up to $20,000 about five Christmas times ago, and then it ran down. Well, as it was going up, the reason it went up, people were dumping into it. You know, as it's going up, people couldn't wait to get it. And then when it started dumping, the reason it started dumping so sharply, people got out of it. They did the same thing they always do. Do you realize within the last year, Bitcoin itself has been up to $68,000 a coin? I mean, right now it's at 30,000
now.
Yeah. So I mean, talk about volatility.
What about Luna? I mean, we haven't even brought up Luna yet. Luna went from $31 a week ago to less than a penny, like a 200th of a penny.
I've tracked a lot of them. I mean, the ones that I've heard more people talk about than Luna are the Dogecoin and the Shiba Inu, you know, which is what 0.00008 or some ridiculous thing right now. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, but Luna's the new one. Luna was supposed to be based on, you know, you hear the term stable coin sometimes, which is, you know, them trying to back their crypto with something. But yeah, can you pull up Luna, Sam? Hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars lost.
It's at 0.0002.
It was at $100 a month ago.
That's
$100. Yeah, now it's worth nothing.
Well, and I have a couple questions, like big picture questions. First of all, like in that clip, you know, the politicians talk about, you know, that there's no backing. What happened yesterday in Texas with people that didn't have any power? You know, if we had a huge spike up or down in the crypto market, could the people in Texas yesterday lock in their gains or their losses? Could they do anything with it? What if we had a power grid failure nationwide? You know, what if there was a solar flare, an EMP? What if something happened and the system shuts down? I mean, I know last week there were some problems with Coinbase, you know, and Elizabeth Warren says there's no protections. I don't like that she compares it to the stock market because, you know, I mean, people that lost a lot of money in 2008 probably didn't feel like the protections in the stock market were that great for them. But I mean, there's definitely no protections. I mean, if you lose your password, which is your key to your wallet, you have no more money. I mean, that's kind of iffy and scary in a day and age where I can't even remember my password for anything. But so we better take a break because I want to get back to this. I want to talk more about cryptocurrencies. So let's do this. Let's take a break. Don't forget, you can find us at anothermoneyshow.com. Email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. But let's come back and continue with crypto.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million. Well, I
don't. This is Another Money Show. Except this one's different. This one's actually fun.
Thank you again for taking time out of your weekend to join us. We greatly appreciate you being here. So continuing on a little further with cryptocurrency, one of the things that you know, when people talk about there's no backing to it, that is true. You know, when I bring up power grid failures and the thought of losing your password, those are problems. You know, something that's glaring to me, the reason that people think this is a viable currency is because it's out of the reach of the government. This is us trading amongst ourselves. So we do have the problem where you cannot take your Luna to Walmart and have them make change with it. You can't take your Bitcoin to Firebird's restaurant and have them pay your meal with it. So
or your silver or gold.
Well, you can't do that either. And that's part of why I talk about diversification, hedging your bet. The people that are buying physical precious metals, they're thinking barter. They're thinking we're going to change it in person. You know, we're going to change you a silver coin for ivermectin or whatever, you know, the flavor of the day. So part of this thing with saying there's no governmental control, that is quite untrue. Let me read you a headline here. This is from the Washington Examiner on March 31st of this year. Hackers have stolen nearly 7 million in cryptocurrency in 2022. That was the end of March. So that's hackers, so they can get into it. Here's one from Benzinga on 4/6/22. Here, the government, Fed seizes 34 million in Bitcoin from hacker selling. I mean, due on the dark web. Here's The Hill from 4/21. Secret Service has seized more than 100 million in crypto. I mean, these headlines, I started saving them and printing them on purpose because the people that are saying, when the dollar collapses, devalues, we're out of the world of currency, you know, reserve currency, we're going to have something to barter with. Well, we are, but monetarily, what I think is coming is the Fed coin, you know, the government's digital currency. It's not going to be ours. We're not going to be able to trade in Dogecoin and Luna and Bitcoin. It's going to be the Fed coin.
You think they're just going to give up control of the currency? You think they're just going to let somebody else have a decentralized, again, the currencies that we're claiming as currencies now aren't currencies. So when the Fed coin comes out and is a currency, you think they're going to let all these other people create their own?
I don't see it. I don't see it happening. So, and we're $30 trillion in debt in this country. I mean, we've talked about all these different issues. They're coming at us faster and faster. So people are scared. People are nervous. You know, everybody's looking for good news, but when you can't find a lot of good news, you know, what do? They think outside the box. They try to find a way around the problem themselves. So they're piling into these things, you know, and a lot of it is what the FOMO, fear of missing out. I mean, why do I want Dogecoin? Well, because everybody else has got Dogecoin, because Dogecoin, you know, people are making a fortune on it. You know, when I said that we would tie some of this into Elon Musk, didn't Elon Musk go on Saturday Night Live and slam Dogecoin? And then it took a huge beating like overnight. And then the following week, didn't it lose a huge amount of its value? I mean, it's anything that can lose money like that should make people nervous.
Oh, it said it was down nearly 80% after his comment. Well, because he said he tweeted, right, back to Twitter. He said that he was going to start accepting it as a way to buy Teslas, right? So it skyrocketed. And then he said, we're not going to do that. I think he did the same with Bitcoin too. But, you know, when we talk about how when it comes to giving financial advice to people, we're following social media as a, you know, something that could take things, you know, tumbling down. One tweet from one person shouldn't be able to move the market that much. That's obnoxious, but that's where people are getting their advice from.
But I think one lucky thing about cryptocurrencies, it's such a hot topic in the news media. We think everybody's got it. But I mean, Anthony, you know, we meet new people every week. We meet very few people that have any exposure to cryptocurrencies whatsoever. And I'm not just talking about our Sun City clientele, our friends in Sun City. I'm talking about your friends. I'm talking about younger people. We are not meeting throngs and throngs of people that are loaded up in crypto.
But I do think the people that I meet that do have it have a lot of it. So you're either
don't have it
or you are over invested in it is what I've seen.
Yes. But why aren't they taking it out? And then why aren't they taking it out and buying a duplex and buying
a trading formula? It only goes up. Crypto, stocks, they only go one way, and that's to the moon, JR. How do you not know this? You're a financial advisor.
I know, but I didn't say I was a good one. When I was younger, an observation I had in this industry, when people talk about their 401k, when it's up 6, 8, 14%, how smart they are. They're talking about it. And then when it's down, they don't say anything. Well, that's how it's going with crypto. You know, the people that are making money are yakking all over the place about it. When they're losing, they're not. Why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and take our last break because we've got to get to segment 4 quickly. So let's take our last break. Make sure you reach out to us, anothermoneyshow.com or team@anothermoneyshow.com. And we'll see you in just a few minutes.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.
You're listening to Another Money Show. To learn more and contact JR and Anthony, visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Welcome back to Another Money Show with JR Rochford, Anthony Creo, and the one and only Sam Davis. You know, I think we've beaten the horse of cryptocurrency to death. So let's move on a little bit. And why do people do things with money, fear or greed? So far, our take on crypto has been pretty much out of greed. So a lot of the people that we encounter, they're working a little more out of fear. So they're afraid right now because of the market volatility. So we have to address those things. You know, one of the things that we strive to do, we want to help you increase the safety of your assets. We want to increase your income. We want to reduce your taxes. We want to do things that no matter what's going on in the world around us, they're still good ideas. So if I'm right and the world's going the wrong way, you know, let's say it doesn't really get bad for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, you still have to do normal financial planning. So to do normal financial planning in such a chaotic world, you know, we have to look at the old rules and then we have to put the world around us to formulate the new rules for us. You know, part of what we talk about with age-based investing, you know, we like to tell people, you know, there's rules. You know, when you're a new financial advisor, you all learn the rule of 100. You know, take the number 100 minus your age. So if you're 80 years of age, you're supposed to be safeguarded about 80%, have 20% to hedge inflation, you know, longevity risk. So if you're 20, you are supposed to have 80% of your money, you know, more aggressive, more at risk, and 20% safe. I guess, you know, when I hear you, Anthony, telling people there's a good time and a bad time to invest, there's no set rules. Amen. I mean, I look at my father. I worked with my father for 11 years, 28 years older than me, and he was much more a risk taker. You know, when I first bought my very first fixed annuity, which was in 2002, I want to say, and my father was like, you know, you're 30, whatever I was, 30 something. He's like, that's just crazy. He's like, you know, you're going to make, you know, 3, 5, 6%, you know, you're wasting your time with that. And I was like, well, two things here. One, I don't like losing money. I work way too hard for my money. I want to protect it. So there's a peace of mind aspect. The second thing is, let's say I take half my money and I put it into a fixed annuity. If I safeguard half my money, that lets the other half, I would say, take even more risk because I know the first half is safe. You know, the second half, I've bought time. So I've been a fan. You know, Anthony, when you came in, I didn't push you away from mutual funds and stocks and bonds. And you started educating yourself on the pros and cons to the fixed side, and you started going safer. Well, you came in the office at 27 years of age. You're now 31, and you have a heck of a base of fixed money. You know,
yeah. I mean, if it's money that's not meant until retirement, why would I invest any other way? One, you don't lose with the fixed index annuity. And two, it's an income stream. It's a pension. You know, all annuities are pensions. Like, we can't push that enough. Pensions are great, but annuities are bad. You know, if you listen to certain people on the radio, but it's the same thing. And I want income in retirement. So any money that I have in retirement, that's my focus.
But are you still doing some money in other things? I mean, are you still diversifying?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Trying to hedge your bets?
Right now I'm heavy in cash. I think I said that in the last show. It's like, do I want to lose out to market risk or do I want to lose out into inflation? Well, personally, I'd rather lose out to inflation. I don't want to lose at all, but right now there's a lot of lose scenarios. You know, that's why I like my retirement plan with the fixed index annuity. If the market goes down, my account stays the same. If the market goes up, then it goes up, but I don't have to recoup what I lost. You know, what do we year to date? I think the NASDAQ's down, what, like 27% ish. And I think S&P's down 11%, something close to that. I mean, if you've lost that money, say you invested at the beginning of the year, you lost that money. It doesn't matter if the market goes up 10% or if it goes up that 27% for the NASDAQ, because your gains are on money you've already lost. So if you lose 10% and you gain 10%, you're not back to even. You have to earn more once you lost. So I don't want to lose in my retirement. I'll take slow, steady, boring growth. I don't want to have to recoup, especially with the volatility right now.
I agree wholeheartedly. And it's funny because, you know, what do most investors want? 10 to 20% return with no risk. And unfortunately, I think somewhat due to manipulation, stock buybacks, I mean, you know, offshore accounts, tax breaks, they've gotten it. So when you spoil people with these amazing returns in very little risk, you know, they get used to that. They enjoy that. You know, it's just recently people are starting to have flashbacks to 2008, you know, and if you lived through that, it didn't feel good. You know, we had a couple of clients the stress level was through the roof. And I can tell you what, your money is never going to be worth you stroking out or having a heart attack for. You know, if this volatility is going to keep continuing, it's funny because you still have the advisors that are saying, you know, buy the dips. I've always been saying, well, but when are you out there saying sell the peaks? You know, the paper loss, we got to go back to saying that again. Don't panic. It's appropriate for your age. It's only a paper loss. But, you know, we just spent, what, 13 years not telling people it's only a paper gain. You know, your account's up 14%. Why don't you take 14%, safeguard it, put it into hard assets, do something different with it, and keep going? I mean, there's smart strategies at any given time. We tend not to go down that road, though.
And you know, how did the stock market become the quintessential investment? How did that become? I mean, what else do people put money into? I mean, people talk about stocks, but my favorite part is think of everybody you know. Sam, you too. Think of everybody you know. How many people would you go into business with? Friends, family? What percentage is that? Because I've asked this question to a few people and it's maybe 1%. Maybe. Like even saying 1% is a stretch because it's great. You know, you love your friends and family, but they're not suave business people.
It might only be 10 or 20% of the people in my contact list that I would consider having a business discussion with. But everyone I know,
contact list, a lot of professionals.
It's not as long as you would think.
But really, right? It's not a big number. But what are stocks? They're ownership in a company. So you just said, I don't know that I would trust 90% of the people I know to invest in a company with, but yet all of those people can buy shares in a stock. Am I crazy?
Well, I'm not the only one making that connection.
But like, I don't trust anybody in my book of business to start a company with, yet every one of those people owns company or bits and pieces of companies.
And how does this happen? I mean, there's a lot in our industry. I mean, we're in sales. You know, I would say being a financial advisor, your number one, sadly, your number one job has to be sales. Because if you work for a brokerage firm, if you work for an insurance company and you don't make sales for 6 months, are you still going to have a job? You know, no, of course not. So you have to make sales. You have to hope for people that make sales honestly and do the right thing. But advisors are steering people towards things. You know, when you look at what people are buying, they're buying products. Most of the people that we become a second opinion for, they bought products over the years. They've got this mutual fund and this stock. Most people have never had a plan. So, you know, planning over products is huge. That's our big push for us, is to make sure things make sense. Make sure you're diversified. Make sure you have a plan. When people buy stocks, if they do it on their own, if they're doing it through TD or you know, Fidelity or whatever on their own, how are they picking these stocks? You know, when you say you wouldn't trust most of the people to go in business with. So, what is the answer? I mean, you know, Anthony, what should people do if they shouldn't listen to somebody on TikTok? What should they do for their financial planning? I have the answer.
You're going to give me the tough questions?
No, I know the answer. I just hope you knew it. They should go to anothermoneyshow.com. We can help people.
We should probably do that. We should tell people that. Oh, yeah, I'm a financial advisor. That's what people should do.
Yeah. In the very first segment, when I said something about, you know, the macro view is this show, because we talk about big picture, the micro view is at our office or at your kitchen table. You know, I mean, our job, we have to help people, one person, one couple, one family at a time, you know, get advice. It's hard too, because we're in such a instant gratification society. You know, when the word fiduciary came out as applicable to the financial world, it was weird to me, because I was like, well, you know, I'm in this family practice. We've always acted in a fiduciary manner. Put your best interest ahead of my own. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you're supposed to do that if you're a decent person. But when the government steps in, what did it do? It put more red tape. It made it where people, the firms said, well, we like that you bring people to us, but we're going to pay you less. You know, one of the things about the fiduciary rule, it became a buzzword. It became a marketing ploy. You know, when we all had to be a fiduciary, it was like, well, the people on the radio saying, don't work with somebody who's not a fiduciary. Well, y'all have to be. And then it got morphed into best interest of the client. You know, the bottom line is do what's right, whether somebody's looking or not. You know, when people say, I will only work with a fiduciary, I got a question for you. If you come into our office and you have a 401k, you've got this old 401k with $100,000 into it, I have to act in a fiduciary manner because it's qualified. It's IRA money. You know, the fiduciary rule is through the Department of Labor. What if you also bring in your checkbook with another $100,000 in it and you want advice on that? I'm not held to the fiduciary standard. I mean, that makes no sense to me.
Well, that was the old rule, right? Through the Department of Labor that never ended up getting passed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the word fiduciary, that's how that was.
That's how it all started.
Yes. And people heard, well, you know, you have to work with a fiduciary. and the best interest, you know, we take these continuing education classes and they're saying certain states have certain rules for best interests. Other states are adopting to them. The bottom line is, who do you trust? Are they doing the right thing, whether somebody's looking or not? You know, I had a conversation with another advisor that I used to work with years and years ago. And when this extra paperwork became part of the application, I was like, how are you going to handle this? And he said, I'm not. What do you mean you're not? We have to. We're held to this. He's like, I'm not. He's like, they either trust me or they don't. It's another piece of paper. You know, you're showing an application of multitudes of papers. I'm just going to put that one there too and say, sign here, here, and here. And I was like, oh, wow. That's either good or bad. If you're doing what's right, that's wonderful because your clients totally trust you. But if you're somebody who's a little bit shady, that's not good. So, and we, you know, we can go on forever. You know, let's move on from this. We need to wrap it up for today, unfortunately, because we have so much to say. Sam, I still think you really need to work on getting us a 6-hour long show. I don't know how we can squeeze this into an hour. We can't keep doing this. Sam's like, did you hear your show last week? You're not going to be here in a week, so don't worry about it. So we need nice sponsors. Quote. That's how we do it. We need to be
if
Monday.
If people set an appointment, then they can sit and talk to you for 6 hours, because we have had, oh my God, some of the new clients Jared sits with, we have had 3-4 hour meetings.
Yeah, because it's important. We do the right thing. We've had some lengthy appointments. That is true.
Believe it or not, people like listening to you talk. I don't get it. I don't want
to sit. I love listening to me talk.
People love hearing you talk.
We got to wrap it up. Sam, what do you think? Yay or nay on me talking? Oh, thumbs up. Yes. But don't, both of you need to start saying yes and no, not just doing the thumbs up and the nodding up and down. We're actually on radio. We're not very good looking, so you'll never see us on TV, but we love that you hear us here. So thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend. Hopefully you heard us, and we will talk to you next week. Make sure you come find us at anothermoneyshow.com or email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.